Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And you're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry, the third from this week, where we're going to preview Dolphins-Bills on Sunday. But first, this show is always brought to you by Manscaped. Use promo code 5RSN, get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping. Prize Picks, use promo code 5FIVE. You deposit $100, you get $100 one-time rollover, which means they're essentially giving it to you because all you got to do is bet it through once, and then they give you $100. It's a free $100. Take it. And, of course, Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons, and you get $25 just for signing up. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Alf.
Hello, Chris. And there's silence because he's muted. And he probably walked over.
Oh, there it is. Fucking A. Sorry about that. I had a little technical error.
Yeah, we reached the. This is our first preview of a playoff game since the start of this podcast. We started this podcast 5 years ago. Okay, this is our fifth season, and this is the first time that we do a podcast previewing a playoff game. Unfortunately, I wish it would have been under better circumstances, but the injury report is out today. Okay, it's almost a certainty now that Robert Hunt will start at right tackle because Kendall Lamb did not practice today. Robert Jones will play right guard in that incarnation of the offensive line. Armstead is trying to play at left tackle, but now Liam Eikenberg is also injured. So Michael Dieter might start at left guard. This is an absolute mess. Simon, what would you do with this offensive line? Other than turn the page and wait till the offseason.
New kit. retire. I don't know. I mean, what you want me to say? I mean,
can we retire as Dolphins fans?
Sorry, say that again.
Can we retire as Dolphins fans?
I wish we could, mate. I wish we
could. Like, this is, I don't get this. Like, you know, like what's left? Like, you know, spontaneous combustion? You know, is there anybody to blame for this?
You know what's odd though, Alf? It all pivots on whether Teron Armstead actually plays or not, right? But yeah. If he plays, you could easily make the argument that that's the best line the Dolphins have fielded all year. I'm not even joking on this. Like, you can make the argument that if Teron Armstead does indeed play in left tackle, then Michael Dieter at left guard, Connor Williams at center, Robert Jones at right guard, and Robert Hunt at right tackle is the best offensive line the Dolphins have fielded all year. It's the best tackle tandem they've fielded all year. You're not losing anything at left guard going from Liam Eikenberg to Michael Dieter. I'm not the biggest Dieter fan either, but, you know, you're not losing anything. Robert Jones, you know, at right guard, you know, he's more of a natural right guard. That's his position. That's his best position. And no, he's not Robert Hunt, but at the same time, Robert Hunt is a pretty, I think, strong upgrade at right tackle versus anything we fielded this year, at right tackle. And so the case could be made. This is literally the best offensive line we've had all year. And we'll see on a Sunday, but I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
That's a bold observation, brother.
Just saying.
By the way, I think it's, I saw today where their ranking for the offensive line is 22nd in the NFL. Like, that's a huge jump. That's 10 spots from last season, which is saying something else.
You wait till we start in the offensive line of Jerron Christian at left tackle, Lester Cotton at left guard, Michael Dieter at center, James Empey at right guard, and
Lemuel Jean-Pierre is going to put on the pads back on, and
Kion Smith at right tackle. There you go. There's the line for Sunday.
Wow. Oh, Kion Smith.
Yeah. as far as Raheem Mostert, he's still on the injury report. He's wearing a wrist cast, not a club, although those things turn to be usually turn into clubs. So it's not looking good for him. It's looking better for Jeff Wilson and Savon Ahmed, who I think played his way onto the team next year. I don't know if you agree with me or not. We're going to do plenty of shows like that. But if you look up at Savon Ahmed's carries this season, he's been an efficiency monster. Like, he literally does not have a bad carry the entire season. So it'll be him.
He's got like six, doesn't he?
I think he has three carries.
He's had his moments. Let's just say that. But you know, does this game, and look, they're 13-point underdogs. They're the biggest underdogs in the history of the wild card round. You know, 14 is actually the record, and it was for a divisional opponent. It was I believe the Patriots over the Colts. So they're close on that, okay? Savon Ahmed has 12 carries this season. Okay. Does it boil down to, and I'll ask you, Simon, does Mike McDaniel have to start showing you something? Because if you look back at this season, of course, he hasn't won any games with his backup quarterback until he won the last one, 11-6 with Skylar Thompson. And if you believe in game score, which is just, you know, what teams are favored by or underdogs by, he was actually -1 on the season, which means that his team, even with all the injuries, was expected to win 10 games. They won 9. So you could say that they underachieved by 1. They are 13-point underdogs. Is he required for you to have a little bit more confidence in Mike McDaniel going forward to cover that spread, Simon?
Whatever happens on Sunday, I won't have any less confidence in Mike McDaniel moving forwards. The Dolphins are in an impossible position. You're rolling out what will essentially be potentially your sixth left tackle, your sixth string left tackle. Yeah, we joke about the offensive line with Jerron Christian and, you know, Lester Cotton. That's not beyond the realms of possibility. I mean, Teron Armstead said himself yesterday that, you know, if I can drive off with my leg, then I'll play. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. The guy was supposed to have surgery after week one and he turned it down. He can't drive off his leg, That's a pretty big issue for a left tackle who needs to be able to drive, to kick slide, to protect the quarterback. People are like, oh, why doesn't Mike McDaniel employ the wildcat? Or why doesn't, you know, as if these things just like happen naturally within half an hour. Mike McDaniel's like, lads, we're going to run the wildcat. Yeah, no worries, Mike. See you Sunday. And it's all fine. The intricacies of the blocking system that need to go in, you know, people are thinking, you know, let's just run the wildcat like we did in New England. Let's just do it 35 times in the game and shock the world. It's not going to happen. This isn't going to happen, you know. So I don't know what people are expecting when you consider the massive amount of injuries that we're starting a seventh round rookie who's been not very good in playoff game. You know, that's just, our number one quarterback is out. Our number two quarterback is out. And number one running back is out. And number one wide receiver's got an ankle issue. And number two wide receiver's got a shoulder issue. And number four receiver is injured. And number five receiver has been out for a significant portion with an injury.
Our tight end can't block.
That's an issue in itself. Our left tackle can't go. Our number two left tackle can't go. Our number three, four, five left tackle can't go. Left guard can't go. Right tackle can't go. Backup right tackle can't go. The fact that there's healthy bodies on the defensive line at linebacker is an absolute, you know, because really apart from Trey Flowers and Ogba, you know, they're all right, actually, in terms of depth. You know, secondary, you know, you're losing Trill Williams, Brandon Jones, Byron Jones, Nick Needham, you know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, you're starting undrafted rookies from colleges I'd never even heard of. So, I don't need to see anything from Mike McDaniel because I know that whatever he does, it will be the best that he has, and it won't be good enough because we're not healthy enough. So that's just the way it is.
Chris, it sounds like Simon, and I tend to agree with Simon. Like, there's just so much you can ask, you know what I mean. But he's giving a pass. I would tend to agree with him to give a pass. Do you think that there's enough on this team to cover that spread? You have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Maybe you could gimmick it enough. Is there a possibility? Is there a path to doing that, Chris?
Well, yeah, actually I do. I do think that there's an ability to cover just because the defense has, I mean, it's like I said on last episode, for the last 3 weeks of the season, this is the number one defense in the NFL as far as yardage is concerned, as perplexing as that actually is. But so what I think it sets up is, listen, this is very typical for the kind of game that this kind of sets up as far as the point spread is arguably the high. I mean, I saw 13.5, and I did see somebody say that was the highest ever in a playoff game, but I guess there's been 14 points, one of the highest spreads ever in the 14 in the,
it is playoff. The highest in wild card history.
It's the highest in wild card, but I heard 13.5 was the highest in all playoff history.
Well, because you have a Super Bowl that was 22 points.
Either way, it's splitting hairs. It's about the highest spread in playoff history. So the Buffalo Bills, you know, obviously they're feeling quite confident heading into this game. They think they know the Dolphins pretty well. They know that the Dolphins, more importantly, they know the Dolphins' offense is not really going to be very good, you know, led by Skylar Thompson. And with the offensive line in a shambles the way that it is, I think bottom line is what I could easily see happening is, you know, before you even know it, you know, kind of one thing goes wrong on Buffalo's offense, then two things go wrong, and you got drives that just don't end in points, and you've got maybe a shaping up for a kind of a low scoring game on their offense from their offense, but also a low scoring game where they're not losing faith that they're going to win the game because they know that the opposing offense just sucks and can't do anything, right? So they might start to feel comfortable. Well, yeah, we're going to win 20-3 or something like that, you know? And then sure enough, something happens in garbage time. And then there's your spread cover. And I think that that's a distinct possibility with a game like this, where the thing that isn't hurt as much right now is Miami's defense, which actually has been pretty decent the last 3 weeks. Well, I say decent, but you know, number one in the NFL for the last three weeks is pretty interesting. So, you know, yeah, there's definitely a way that this game could play out where it's just like the Bills are kind of asleep at the wheel and then they win, you know, 20-10. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's and I think that's a distinct possibility. Where I think Miami, what I think Miami has to try and do is turn that around, and you know, get it to, you know, a 20-13 type of situation, but then a last drive, you know, a last miracle drive, maybe even going for it on two points at the end. You know, that's what Miami has to hope for, is just that one last chance at the end of the game. And it's not going to happen, when we all know it, but yeah, there's a possibility there.
All right. And we're going to go to break right now. When we come back, we're actually going to talk about the game and the possibilities and what has to happen, which is a lot. But first, these words. Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954- 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, and we're back. Simon, if you look through what the Bills have done this year, and of course, you're talking about a playoff game, so it's win or go home. So you start looking at the possibilities of how a game can come close to where you can actually pull off the upset. And you look at their games, most of them don't apply. The Vikings game absolutely does not apply. The first Dolphin game does not apply because Dolphins had a very efficient offense. They had their quarterback. The Jets game in New York, the Bills lose 20-17. That's the closest thing you can come to maybe a formula. It was turnovers. It was a short passing game. It was 35 runs from the New York Jets. It really is as simple as that. They need a lot of turnover luck. And are they even capable of running that game plan? And is that something you want to see from Mike McDaniel? Do you want to see at least the effort made? So of doing something out of the box to try to keep this game close?
No, because I just, like I said earlier, I don't think that's like, what do you mean out of the box? Like,
do you want to see them do something extraordinary outside of what is their ethos this year? Or do you want them to just run their own offense?
They're playing a seventh round rookie quarterback. I don't think that they're going to be reinventing the offensive wheel. I mean, there are limitations to what you can do, unfortunately. Like, it's not going to be like a flea flicker on first down, an end around on second down, a, you know, Stanford band play on third down, touchdown fourth. They're going to try and run the conventional offense. They'll try and establish the run. I'm sure it will be difficult to do without Raheem Mostert. You know, I mean, Jeff Wilson is a pounder. Mostert has that breakaway ability. Mostert's not going to play. I think Ahmed gets a lot of touches, and it'll be short passes. And you know, I'd imagine that Skyler will end up piling up some interceptions. He would have to play one of the most remarkable games in the history of the playoffs, quite frankly, to be able to win. I don't think that's hyperbole, because the odds are so stacked against. That's just the way it is. I'm sure Mike McDaniel will come up with something. You know, but the game plan, the offense is not geared to being run by a seventh round Big 12 quarterback. It's just not. The offense is predicated on the superpowers that Tua has, as most offenses are. And as you know, as we all know, you know, when the backups come in, the offense looks completely different because it can't be run in the way that it's supposed to be run, which is quick drop, quick release, quick throw, you know, darting receivers everywhere, guys running open because of the creativity. That's just not the way that, you know, there were throws available to Thompson on Sunday that he wouldn't make, you know, whether or not he doesn't trust his arm, whether or not he doesn't trust his eyes, whether or not he doesn't trust the, you know, all of those things. That's, you know, and that was against the Jets. This is against the Bills, another really good defense. And I don't know that trick plays or changing it up you can't win with trick plays. You have to matriculate the ball down the field as best as possible. If they can get a run game going, you know, they can't get into a shootout. They have to keep it tight on defense. They have to punt, you know, they have to get the Bills to punt. They have to play good special teams. They have to play field position. You know, can Morrison, who's been excellent all season, you know, can he pin them deep, make them drive the field 85, 90, 95 yards? If they can do that, play efficiently on offense, not turn the ball over, you know, get into field goal range, kick field goals, keep the score low. If they can do that, then they've got a chance. But it's a massive if against a quarterback who historically and notoriously has killed us, especially on big downs, especially on third down, especially on third and long. You know, the defense is going to have to play the game of its life against an offense that, you know, has found more ways to get the ball to different people, whether that's James Cook, who's had an influence in the second half of the season, Naeem Hines out of the backfield, you know, Isaiah McKenzie coming back from injury, obviously Gabe Davis, obviously Stephon Diggs, obviously the big tight end, Dawson Knox. You know, they can move the ball about to 6, 7, 8 different guys with ease. John Brown now caught the big touchdown last week against, you know, we can't handle that defensively. If we can, if we can force them into some three and outs, if we can force them to punt the ball, keep it tight, play smart football, then there's a chance. But, I mean, I would be staggered if this is a game heading into the fourth quarter. Absolutely staggered. But we shall see. If they can, you know, to me, that's the recipe for success. If they can do that, if they can keep Josh Allen in the pocket, if Josh doesn't have one of his superhuman mutant nights, then there's a chance. But I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but I just, you know.
Yeah, any game that's close into the fourth quarter, it has to be accompanied by a horrible Josh Allen game. It has to be one of those games that Josh Allen had against the Jets, or, you know, the first time against Miami, or last year against Miami. You know, it has to be one of those out of the ordinary games accompanied by a lot of turnovers. And possibly one defensive score. But, Chris, one thing I wanted to ask you is, one thing that can be done, and I don't know if you got this off the top of your head, do you know how many carries Tyreek Hill had this season?
Oh, God. It's less than 10, right? I mean, it's like, yes, we're talking like 5, maybe?
7. He had 7 carries for 32 yards and a touchdown. I don't remember when the hell this touchdown was. When was the touchdown?
It was against New England.
It was the first game of the year, right?
Was it?
No, it was the other day, wasn't it? When he the little caught the little.
Yeah, so I guess that New England.
Oh, was that a run?
Yeah, I guess that was a run, right? It was a lateral. You know, I think part of what would keep this game, you know, what would look like, if we're talking about, you know, if this is a close game, what happened? I think it has to be with 10 to 12 Tyreek Hill carries somehow. And he has to break one for like 30, 40 yards to set up points in one of them. And that's something that they haven't done all year.
I mean, they're not going to, if he's had 7 carries all year, they're not going to give him 10 to 13 carries. That's just not his, he's not built that way. That's just not what he does. What are they going to line him up in the backfield?
Well, he is a former running back. So
he is, but like, he's had 7 carries all season.
No, actually, that's more of the thing to discuss than whether he's going to suddenly get 10 carries today or in this game, because, you know, he sort of even confirmed that the conversation between he and Mike McDaniel was surrounded, you know, the way that he used Deebo Samuel, and that's one of the reasons he came down to Miami. And fast forward, we're all the way through the regular season now. And 7 carries, and it's like, what happened to that? Because we could have used it. I mean, there was no point in the season where it was like, you know, now we don't need that. You know, it is Kansas City did more with him carrying the football, I think, than we have, and that is a little bit questionable to me. If you're asking, you know, what can Mike McDaniel reach into his bag and bring out of this game that maybe we haven't seen much of before, yes, clearly that is one of the things. He comes from a team that used Deebo Samuel exactly like that. And Tyreek Hill has a history in Kansas City lining up in the backfield and taking carries. And he has so and also the end arounds and jet sweeps and stuff like that. So yeah, there's that. There's also Skylar Thompson running him. This was a guy who was a heavy run guy in college at K-State. You know, he ran the ball a lot. And we didn't do that last week because Teddy Bridgewater can't throw a football, yet he had to serve as the backup because the number three guy had only just got the playbook like a couple days beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't risk Skylar Thompson by having him by calling runs against the Jets. They couldn't. Well, now you fast forward this week and maybe it's a little bit different. One, it's the playoffs and you've got just nothing else to lose here. And two, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is progressing. I don't know exactly how far they're talking about in practice. He's throwing 15 to 20 yard passes, which is not encouraging. That's the sort of cap that we're talking about. But by game day, who knows what he's feeling like. But also, Mike Glennon has had more time to digest a legitimate game plan, at least a legitimate weekly game plan. You know, you're not asking him to memorize 150 plays, right? So I think that now there is an opportunity to do more with Skylar Thompson running the ball. There is certainly, I think, every reason to explore, especially with Raheem Mostert out, explore Tyreek Hill running the ball more. You know that Jalen Waddle can run the football or can do stuff after the catch on screens and such. I think that, yeah, you probably have to be doing things like that. But if I envision how Miami wins, it's really not that. It's not. I think it's something to do. I think it's something to keep drives alive, maybe. But I don't think that that's, you know, that's going to be the margin and say, oh, we just unleashed all that stuff and that did it. I think that any vision I have of the Dolphins winning this game starts with, I mean, who are the stars of this team that remain, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the conversation should center on. You know, we do have stars on this team. Xavien Howard in the past has certainly been a star. What if he reaches, you know, in his bag and has the kind of game that we know that he can have? What about Javon Holland? We've seen him have elite games, Javon Holland, right? What if he does that? What if Jalen Phillips does? I mean, I've seen Jalen Phillips even just last week had one of the best games I've ever seen of him, you know, or really in a long time, in a while of any defensive end in Miami. It was like a dominant Cameron Wake game, a dominant Jason Taylor type of game. What if he brings that to the table? What we know what Christian Wilkins can bring to the table. He's a dominant player. You know, Zach Sealer, we know that he can bring to the table. He can be a dominant player. Jerome Baker, we know when he's on, you know, what he can do, limiting the overall, you know, big play abilities, big run abilities of an offense, limiting with his range how much the offense can get to the outside and things like that. What if he has a big game? You know, that it's got to center around the stars of the team. And if the stars of the team have a good, you know, have a good day, then yeah, this could be a close game because we do still have, I mean, the defense has a number of stars on the team. Kader Coho seems to just get better as the season goes on. And I'm not saying he's a star or anything, but I mean, let's like, you know, that's where the conversation has to center on. And then on offense, who do you think? Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Any given point of the game, even a Skylar Thompson can throw a ball to a Tyreek Hill that has embarrassed a cornerback, you know, or a Jalen Waddle that is sprung open. Even a Skylar Thompson can do that. If the stars on the team come out, then yeah, this is a winnable game. It's just, it seems like a hard thing to envision happening right now because it hasn't been happening. And that, you know, that goes back to, you know, where's the team's mentality at You know, how good of a job are our coaches doing of putting them in a position, but also on offense, you know, if Skylar Thompson just isn't seeing anything out there, and then, you know, the offense just stays in the toilet. But I think that if you do see that happen, if you do see the stars of this team that are there are enough of them to win the game, if they do rise up and play, then yeah, that's the vision. That's the vision for how this happens.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, and it's a checklist. You know, you're talking about a 3 turnover, you know, on the good side, you know, plus 3 in the turnover ratio. At least you might need a defensive score, because the potency on offense is just not there. Now with Skylar Thompson, 250 yards rushing, something like that. 15 passes.
I don't even know if it has to be turnovers, though, Alf. I mean, if it's just if you just lull them, because the offense is going to be, it's like you said, even with Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle being stars, it's not going to be down-to-down consistency, right? Or drive-to-drive consistency. It's explosiveness, explosive play potential. That's what we're talking about. But what if, because of that, because our offense can't get anything done, and if our defense shows up and actually, you know, the stars come out on the defense, what if you're just kind of lulling the Bills to sleep? You know, like, and forget like 3 turnovers. It doesn't have to be like that. You know, what if you're just kind of lulling them to sleep? Like they're kind of sleepwalking through the game. And then before you know it, they've gone 4 drives. Like, hey, we haven't scored in like 4 drives. What the fuck? You know, and that can happen. That happens in NFL football games against bad defenses, you know? So, you know, that's the hope.
Yeah, it's just they got to run a gauntlet, you know. And I do believe that because turnovers are such a cheat code. Like, if you look at the numbers historically, plus 3, like, it's anybody. It could be the worst team in football against the best team in football. And plus 3 is – it's almost too much to overcome, really. It's only in, like, recent years. Oddly enough, it's Patrick Mahomes, and he keeps doing it, which kind of tells me all I need to know as far as the MVP race. Like, he's the new Michael Jordan, which means you could just wake up every single year and just hand him the MVP trophy, and you're probably going to be right because there's nobody better. Like, he's essentially the only quarterback, and they're the only team that overcomes plus 3 in the turnover ratio. So we're going to get to this now. Simon, they're going to play the game. Like, you know, they can't cancel it, so... They're going to have to line up and play the game on Sunday. The weather's actually going to be good. You know, it's going to be cold, but it's clear skies, no wind. You know, unfortunately, that was one of the ways I think that they could have muddied the game and maybe equalized the game. Like, if you had just a horrific, you know, horrific weather with terrible wind, you know, that kills the Bills' passing game, kind of puts us back on par. And then it's their running game versus ours and, you know, which defense can make more plays. I think I would have felt a little bit better about that, but they're going to play the game. What do you foresee happening on Sunday?
I mean, I'd love to share Chris's optimism. I think the Dolphins will get handily beaten. I mean, are you looking for a score prediction?
Yep.
I mean, I'm going Buffalo 38, Miami 10.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty big. You know, if Tua was playing, I would tell you that you were crazy because there's nothing to indicate.
If Tua was playing and we were healthy and, you know, this was, the you know, even the health that we had 4 weeks ago, if Armstead was playing, if Tua was playing, if Mostert was playing, if Tua hadn't had the concussion, I'd fancy our chances. You know, yeah. I'd say this is, you're looking at an overtime game, you're looking at a late field goal game, just like the other day. It's going to be come down to the final drive. It's going to be one of those games, you know, and I'd probably favor the Dolphins maybe. Even though I think Buffalo are probably the better team, I think the Dolphins might have their number. But I, you know, look.
Yeah. In my opinion, you know, like I'm going into the offseason talking about, you know, and thinking about, okay, how do we win the division next season? Because I think that we've progressed to have those expectations next season after watching this team play them twice and knowing what the potential is. So, you know, I'll go next.
Before you go next, actually, look, flip it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take, you know, a playoff favorite. Take Buffalo. You know, if they have, I don't even know who their third string quarterback is, you know, but
they don't have one.
Okay. So, you know, let's say they've signed Mike Glennon then, you know, if Josh Allen's out for the season, if Keenum's out for the season, you know, if their number one running back is out, if their left tackle is out, if, you know, Tre'Davious White and, you know, Hoyer and Hyde and Taron Johnson, they're all out as well. Do you know what I mean? Then you flip it on his head and you say, well, Miami going to win this game? Because we've got Tua and we've got Armstead and we've got Waddle and we've got Hill and we've got Needham and we've got, you know, Byron and all these guys. Yeah, Miami would spank them. But unfortunately, the injuries have come at just a critical... It doesn't matter who it is, really. I mean, the 49ers are a bit of an outlier because of what Brock Purdy's doing. Their defense is so good. But, you know, take Mahomes and Chad Henne out of the... Take Mahomes out of the Kansas City equation. You know, that's a completely different Kansas City team. So, you know, I don't think we, you know, I'm not dogging on Miami just because the situation is the situation.
And it's would be dire. The same.
Yeah, but it would be the same with almost any team in the playoffs. Take Joe Burrow out of the Bengals and their backup and whoever the third string quarterback is. You know, good luck with that. You know, you might have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Jamar Chase and Joe Mixon, but the offense ain't going to be the same because Joe Burrow is special. You know, that and that's just the unfortunate situation that we're in. You know, I'd love for us to be able to rock up to Paycom at the weekend, to whatever their stadium's called, and, you know, with a full healthy team and think, you know what, we're going to fuck these, you know, fuck them up on national television and head to Kansas City and do the same to them. But it's not going to be the case, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're outmanned. You know, I'm looking at that line, and I think they're going to have a shot if they can get a garbage touchdown late to try to cover that, but I think they fall short. I got the Bills 27, Miami 13.
Chris? Yeah, you know, that's actually pretty close to where I come out of this, because I do imagine after the emotions that, you know, there could be, listen, last week was such an emotional experience for the Buffalo Bills, right? And there's exhaustion, there's hangover from that. And I think that we could be seeing, it's 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock is perfect for these sort of sleepy games too. We could see kind of a sleepy performance, just counting on the fact that Miami's offense can't do anything, right? And they won't do it. They probably won't do much of anything. But I could see kind of a sleepy performance leading to, you know, hey, Miami scores a touchdown late to make it like 20-10. Or not late, not like in the last minutes, but like, you know, kind of in the fourth ish quarter, to make it like 20-10 and kind of, you know, bring it to within sight a little bit. And then Buffalo, you know, wakes up and scores that final touchdown to make it 27-10. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of the game that I see happening. And I just hope that I'm a little bit wrong. And then what actually happens though is the sleepiness combined with ball bounces the right way, maybe turnover, as
luck.
You said. I don't know about three turnovers, but you know, I don't know about three turnovers, but I mean, you know, ball bounces in one way, one time.
Yeah, I mentioned three because three is the ultimate equalizer. It's almost impossible to overcome.
Yeah, but I mean, but how often does that happen? I just don't necessarily see that as needing to happen. It's just, you know, if it is a sleepy game and then an oh shit moment happens, you know, or maybe two, then all of a sudden, you know, we could be having a different conversation, and hopefully we will be, but I very much doubt it.
All right, that's it. On Monday, we'll be armed with the results, and we'll talk about it. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.